You'll find my text in the Gospel of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. While you're turning, let me share something with you that I think will be of help. Going out the door this morning, Brother Bill Raleigh expressed his concern for me in so many ways. He said, I don't know why I worry like I do, I'll just trust the Lord. And something came to me that I thought was appropriate. Certainly we ought to trust the Lord with everything, but God arranges things as He has. And He's left us here struggling with our flesh and our unbelief and our sin, and has done so for reasons. The fact is, if we didn't have so much unbelief and worry and fretting, we probably wouldn't pray for folks like we ought to, especially the folks near us. I was sitting here thinking about my grandson sitting back there. Every day since before he came into this world, I asked God to hedge him about. And whenever he and the family are away or away from them, you just kind of fret about them. You just do. Wish I could say I didn't, but you just do. But if you didn't, you probably wouldn't pray for them either. And we thank God for your concern and for your care. Leviticus 25. In this portion of Scripture, God Almighty, giving His law at Mount Sinai, gives very detailed, specific instructions about slavery. That may seem strange in our day. I'm sure it does to many, and may even be offensive to some that this portion of Scripture is here. But here it is. God gives specific, detailed instructions about slavery. Verse 35. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, or lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant or a bondslave, but as an hired servant, and as a sojourner. He shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto his the possession of his fathers shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shalt fear thy God. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your land, and they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor. And if a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him. Or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold unto him unto the year of Jubilee. And the price of his sale shall be according to the number of years, according to the time of an hired servant, that shall it be with him. Verse 51. And if there be yet many years behind, according unto them he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. And if there remain but few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him, and according unto his years shall he give him again the price of his redemption. And as the yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. All right, now, here's the reason for all this instruction about buying, possessing, inheriting, and selling slaves. Here's the reason. For unto me, the children of Israel are servants, slaves. They are my slaves, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I've come here to call you to the most ennobling, most honorable, most honoring of all things. I'm here recruiting slaves for the Son of God. I'm here calling for you to give yourself up as God's slaves to God our Savior. That's my purpose. I'm calling upon you voluntarily to put yourself into slavery, utter slavery, taking the Lord Jesus Christ as your master and your king. That's called faith in the Son of God. This is how our Lord himself put it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God gives faith to sinners when he puts the yoke of Christ upon you. And you find rest unto your souls when you voluntarily take the yoke of Christ. And you find, as you bow to his yoke, peace, satisfaction, and comfort in the most difficult circumstances. And you find that truly his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Since the Lord God has redeemed us, since he saved us by his grace, he claims us as his slaves. Is that not what we read in verse 55? Unto me, the children of Israel are servants, slaves. They are my slaves, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Read the chapter carefully, and you will see that the Lord claimed rule over the children of Israel, dictating to these men and women what they were to be and what they were to do in all things, right down to their diet. He claimed the rule of their property, the rule of their families, the rule of their children, the rule of their animals, the rule of their time, the rule of their money, the rule of their affection, the rule of their attitudes, both toward family and friend and foe. And it's only reasonable that you and I consecrate ourselves to him voluntarily as slaves devoted to him in all things. When Paul sums up all that he wrote in the book of Romans, all he wrote about God's free justification, about redemption through the precious blood of Christ, about God's providence, about God's purpose, God's sovereignty, God's free grace, God's casting off of people in order to send the gospel to you to save his elect. He says, I beseech you therefore, on the basis of all that God's done, on the basis of all you've experienced, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. The most reasonable thing in this world, the most reasonable thing in this world is for you and me, sinners saved by God's free grace, for you and me, sinners redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, to willingly consecrate ourselves to God our Savior as His voluntary slaves. Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord. I've read as much as I could get my hands on about consecration. And as we sang that hymn by Fanny Crosby, I thought, that dear lady, I don't commonly say this about hymn writers, especially female hymn writers, and I wouldn't commonly say about Fanny Crosby. She wasn't a terribly good theologian. But she summarized what that consecration is better than I've ever read or heard anywhere. Let my will be lost in Thine. That's what I'm calling for. Let my will be lost in Thine. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here in 1 Corinthians 6, God the Holy Ghost tells us exactly what this slavery involves. Look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. If I had time, I would spend a little time on each of these horrible evils that had become socially acceptable things in our day. Oh, how horrible. Fornication, folks look at it today as if maybe ate too many potatoes for lunch. Horrible. Sodomy, folks look at it today as if maybe you're wearing your shorts a little too tight. Now, how horrible. These are horrid evil things. Idolatry, adultery, abusers of men, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. None such shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That's what you are by nature. That's where you were when God found you. That's our nature. Yours and mine. But, ye are washed. Washed in the precious blood of Christ. Ye are sanctified. Made holy by the regenerating grace of God the Holy Ghost. Ye are justified. Made righteous by the gift of Christ's righteousness to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. And look down at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Don Fortner, you're not your own. Shelby Fortner, you're not your own. Dave Burge, you're not your own. Betty Burge, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And let me call your attention to four or five things briefly. I pray God will drive each error straight to your heart. First, here is a blessed fact. You're bought with a price. You're bought. Bought. There are many who think themselves smarter than God in the religious world, liberal theologians who poke fun at what they call mercantile redemption. Mercantile redemption is Bible redemption. We've been bought, purchased by the precious blood of God's darling Son, purchased by Christ Jesus dying in our stead at Calvary, purchased by our Savior's blood. Christ bought us out from under the curse of the law. Christ sought us out from the ruins of fallen humanity. And Christ brought us out of condemnation with a price. How great the price. How great the sacrifice. God gave His Son for you. The Son of God laid down His life for you. He sacrificed His happiness, His glory, His repose, His body, His soul, His life, everything for you. You're bought with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb verily foreordained before the foundation of the world. How can we begin to measure the price of our redemption? How can we measure the sacrifice of our Savior? We're given some ways to measure it in Scripture. Measure it in the light of our Savior as He kneels in Gethsemane, anticipating that He must be made sin for us, abandoned by His Father, suffering all the fury of God's wrath, all the torment of hell for His elect, when He who knew no sin would be made sin. And His heart breaks within Him so that He sweats blood falling to the ground. Judas comes to betray Him with a kiss, betrayed by his own familiar friend, and then is taken to the judgment hall, and there mocked and derided, beaten, spit upon, laughed at, held out to public scorn and ridicule, paraded through the streets of Jerusalem naked. Then they take Him to Mount Calvary and led Him to the cursed tree. And there He cries, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And suffers all the horrid anguish of God's furious wrath in His body, in His soul, and in His heart upon the tree. Our body and spirit are both bought with the precious blood of Christ. This is either a fact or it's not. You're bought or you're unredeemed. You're bought or you're not God's. You're bought or you're going to hell. This is a fact, and it's a fact for our lives. Wonder of wonders. It will remain to you if you're God's. It will remain to you eternally the grandest of all facts. The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? If this is true, it will never cease to be true. And it will never be outdone. Never be outdone in a matter of importance by anything else. I'm redeemed by blood divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. This fact. The fact that we're redeemed by Christ's precious blood ought to operate upon our hearts and our minds constantly, effectually, by the power of God governing everything. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. I'm sorry, 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. The love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ motivates us. The love of Christ forces us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And this is what that means. If Christ died for me, then I died when He died. If Christ died for all His elect died when He died. And that He died for all. He died for all His people. That they which live, this is the object of Christ in dying. This is why he died for Don Fortner. This is why he died for Rex Bartlett. This is why he died for Lindsey Campbell. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Why did he die? That we not live to ourselves, but to him. That we live not for ourselves, but for him. That we live not to gratify ourselves, but to please him. That we live not for our pleasure, but his pleasure. He died for us that we live unto him. That's a blessed fact. Second, here's a blessed loss. Ye are not your own. Ye are not your own. Turn back to Deuteronomy 26. I'll get there in a minute. Deuteronomy 26. You're not your own. You're not your own property. Christ bought you. You're not your own provider. The shepherd provides for the sheep. You're not your own guide. Ships are steered by the pilot. Or steered, I should say. You're not your own father. Children are loved and taken care of by the parents. You're not your own to waste in idleness, amusement, and ambition. You're not your own to use. You're not your own to rule. We read in Deuteronomy 26, thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people. Oh, how honored we are to avouch that the triune Jehovah is our God. The God of glory, he's my God. The God of heaven and earth, he's my God. God who rules everywhere, everybody, all the time, he's our God. I've avouched him so in believer baptism, confessing faith in Christ. And that means I've been called, chosen, redeemed, saved by his grace. But how indescribably blessed it is to have the triune Jehovah avouch that we are his. As soon as a sinner looks to Christ in faith, as soon as a sinner trusts the Lord Jesus as his wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, he has within him the avouchment of God, the assurance of God that he is God's. The blood of Christ sprinkled on the conscience gives us peace. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost gives us assurance. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Look here in Deuteronomy 26:16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. You've lifted your hand to heaven and said, the Lord is my God. I baptized you right here in this pool, and you lifted your hand to heaven and said, the Lord is my God. He's my God. And to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and to hearken unto his voice. Verse 18. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, to make thee high above all nations which he made, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken. All right, here's the third thing. A blessed slavery. Your body and your spirit are God's. God's because he's your creator. God's by sovereign predestination. God's by his eternal election. God's by blood redemption. God's by the special call of his spirit. You're God's by your own voluntary surrender to him. altogether God's, body and spirit. That's the whole man. Always God's. The price paid, paid forever. We belong to God. We belong to God. Now, here's the fourth bit. Here's a blessed responsibility. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Glorify God in your body. Verse 12, Paul says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. What's that mean? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your spirit. With faith, with hope, with love, with faithfulness, with confidence, with devotion. With devotion. People talk a great deal about love. It's used, the word is used so commonly, I think hardly anyone has any idea what's involved in love. People talk about loving God, loving Jesus. Man love a woman a man, and loving one another. It's just, well, we love you, and God does too, and it means nothing. Let me tell you what love is. Let me tell you what it is. Love is devotion. It's devotion. It may involve passion, but it's devotion. It may involve feeling, but it's devotion. Love is a man committed to a woman devoted to a man. Love is a man, a woman, saved by God's free grace, devoted to God. Now, sing about your love. Devoted to God. Consecrated to God. Given to God. Let us daily seek grace, that our God may give us wisdom and grace, day by day, to honor him. To honor his gospel. To honor his kingdom. To honor his name. I have been praying every day since before I was 17 years old. Since the day God saved me. Lord God, keep me today from bringing reproach upon you. Keep me from dishonoring you. Keep me from bringing reproach to the gospel, to your cause. Except he so keep us, will not be kept. Compel me by the sweet, irresistible constraint of your spirit, my God, to have a perfect balance and a just weight, a perfect and just measure in all my dealings with man and with God. Well, Pastor, all that's good talk. Those are things we ought to strive for, but can you give us an example? Let me give you just one. Isaiah chapter 42. Here is a blessed example of what it is to be God's slave. Our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own darling Son, voluntarily became the servant of the triune Jehovah, God's voluntary bondslave, for the saving of his people by His grace. Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Yes, Jehovah's righteous servant is God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus voluntarily became his Father's servant to redeem and save his people. He had his ear bored through with an awl and said, I love my master and I love my family. I'll not go out free. He's that one described in the law of the bondslave back in Exodus chapter 21. Our Savior in the covenant of grace stood forth and voluntarily offered himself as Jehovah's servant to live for, to die for, to redeem, and to save his covenant people. It was in this capacity that he spoke in Psalm 40 and in Hebrews chapter 10. He came into this world in the fullness of time to do the will of God, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified by the sacrifice of himself. This he accomplished as Jehovah's servant. And this is the basis of his exaltation, the basis of his heavenly glory. God, the triune Jehovah, has given into the hands of the God-man, our mediator, the reins of the universe for the saving of his people to the glory of God. He earned the right to rule as Jehovah's bondservant. And it is the basis, his obedience unto death is the basis of my appeal to you. I call you today voluntarily to give yourself over to the Son of God as God's slave. As God's slave. As God's slave, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is the most reasonable thing in the world. The most reasonable thing in the world. At the risk of embarrassing him, I don't know that Will even knows this, or that I've ever told him. Before he was ever born, asked God to take him, save him by his grace, as you have your children, grandchildren. If it can honor God, make of him a preacher, that's God's doing, not mine. I tell you how much I want it, how reasonable it is. If this moment, I'm saying goodbye to that boy for the last time, and he's fixing to leave to go to the darkest, most remote corners of the earth to serve God preaching the gospel, I would count it the highest honor. The highest honor God could heap on him or on me. Oh, what an honor. I have avouched, Jehovah is my God. Faith, giving me faith in Christ. The Lord God has avouched here that he is my God. May he do that for you, for Christ's sake. Amen.